Bible Basics, Study 6, God and Evil. 6.3, Demons. If we do not believe the devil, Satan, to be an evil personal being, then surely it follows that demons, who are believed to be the servants of the devil, likewise do not exist. It isn't that God gives us all the good things in life and the devil all the bad things. God is the source of all power and therefore responsible for both the good and the bad, such as peace and calamity, Isaiah chapter 45, verse 7, and disaster, Micah chapter 1, verse 12. Job was stripped of most of the good things he had enjoyed in life, but he never blamed his misfortunes on a devil or Satan. Job chapter 1, verse 21. Job chapter 2, verse 10. We can ask God to remove our trials in life if we acknowledge he is in control and is the source of all power in the universe. Deuteronomy chapter 4, verse 35. The Lord is God. There is no other besides him. Isaiah chapter 44, verse 8. Is there a God besides me? There is no rock. I know not any. Isaiah chapter 45, verse 5. I am the Lord, and there is no other. Besides me, there is no God. We need also to be aware God might be chastening us for our own good and spiritual growth. Hebrews chapter 12, verses 6 to 8. Israel displeased God by believing in other gods, as well as in him. The demons people believe in today are equivalent to those false gods the Israelites believed in. Demons refer to idols. Paul uses the term idol and demon interchangeably in First Book of Corinthians. 1 Corinthians chapter 10, verse 20. What pagans sacrifice they offer to demons and not to God. I do not want you to be participants with demons. Compare 1 Corinthians chapter 10, verse 28. But if someone says to you, this has been offered in sacrifice to idols, Greek, idolothuton, then do not eat it. 1 Corinthians chapter 8, verse 4. We know that an idol has no real existence, and that there is no God but one. Acts chapter 17, verse 16, finds Paul in Athens amazed at the number of altars dedicated to idols. On preaching to the philosophers there, they said Paul was introducing alien demons, the actual Greek used, verse 18. And this describing Jesus and the one Almighty God. He went on to warn them that this same God had set a day on which this same Jesus would hold them to account for their false religion, and that this same God had proved the point by raising this same Jesus from the dead. He described them as being very devoted to demon worship. Actual Greek, Deisidaimonestros, verse 22, but showed the one true God was creator and was not present in any of their idols. Old Testament demons were idols. In the Old Testament, it was the same. Idols and demons were the same thing. Psalm 106, verses 36 to 38. They served their idols, which became a snare to them. And then follows the Hebraic parallelism, saying the same thing in different terms. They sacrificed their sons and their daughters to the demons. They poured out innocent blood the blood of their sons and daughters, whom they sacrifice to the idols of Canaan. Deuteronomy chapter 28, verses 15, 22 and 28. If you will not obey the voice of the Lord your God, the Lord will strike you with wasting disease and with fever, inflammation and fiery heat. The Lord will strike you with madness and blindness and confusion of mind. English Standard Version. When these punishments fell upon Israel for their disobedience, due to their involvement with those nations who believed in demons, Israel came to associate sicknesses and mental afflictions with demons. They even went to the extreme of child sacrifice in order to appease these supposed demons, in order to get the various afflictions they were then suffering taken away. New Testament demons. The New Testament does speak of demons because that was the only way people could explain certain afflictions, such as blindness, deafness, epilepsy, and mental illness. If demons really were the cause of these afflictions, why is there such an emphasis on this only in the New Testament, and virtually none in the preceding thousands of years covered by the Old Testament? In those days, we read of an evil, unclean spirit affecting individuals, and it obviously referred to a troubled mental state. Judges chapter 9, verse 23. 1 Samuel 16, verse 14. Now the Spirit of the Lord departed from Saul, and a harmful spirit from the Lord tormented him. In New Testament times, evil spirit, or demon possession, described mental illnesses and some other physical afflictions. Matthew chapter 8, verses 16 to 17 shows us, that evening they brought to him many who were oppressed by demons, and he cast out the spirits with a word, and healed all who were sick. This was to fulfil what was spoken by the prophet Isaiah, he took our illnesses and bore our diseases. So demons and spirits were among the sicknesses and illnesses Jesus cured. Jesus was even accused of being demon-possessed because people thought he must be out of his mind. John chapter 7, verses 19 to 20. Why do you seek to kill me? The crowd answered, you have a demon. Who is seeking to kill you? John chapter 8, verse 52. The Jews said to him, now we know that you have a demon. John chapter 10, verse 20. Many of them said, he has a demon and is insane. Why listen to him? Healing the sick. When Jesus healed people thought to be demon-possessed, they are described as returning to their right mind. Mark chapter 5, verse 15. They came to Jesus and saw the demon-possessed man, the one who had had the legion, sitting there, clothed and in his right mind. Luke chapter 8, verse 35. They came to Jesus and found the man from whom the demons had gone, sitting at the feet of Jesus, clothed and in his right mind, and they were afraid. When Jesus sent out about 70 of his disciples, he told them to heal the sick. Luke chapter 10, verse 9. They returned, exclaiming in verse 17, Lord, even the demons are subject to us in your name. The language of the day. Just because God inspired the Bible writers to employ the language of their day, even if those ideas were clearly elsewhere in the Bible shown to be false, does not mean that we are to accept those false ideas. Jesus did not believe in demons, and neither did the apostles. We may use the term lunatic today to describe irrational behaviour. Years ago, people believed the moon, la lune in French, could affect a person's mental state, and such people were labelled as lunatics. But our use of the term today in no way proves we still believe the connection between the moon and such behaviour. In Ezekiel's time, there was a belief that the land was responsible for the misfortunes of its inhabitants, clearly a nonsensical idea. Yet God inspired Ezekiel to write a message of hope to Israel using this mistaken idea about the land. Ezekiel chapter 36, verse 6, and verses 13 to 14. Therefore, prophesy concerning the land of Israel. Thus says the Lord God, because they say to you, you devour people and you bereave your nation of children, therefore you shall no longer devour people and no longer bereave your nation of children, declares the Lord God. Similarly, in Numbers chapter 13 and verse 32, so they brought to the people of Israel a bad report of the land that they had spied out, saying, the land through which we have gone to spy it out is a land that devours its inhabitants. Since God inspired the Bible, it is not a question of Scripture merely reflecting the pagan influences of the time. Rather, it deliberately alludes to contemporary beliefs in order to demonstrate that God is the ultimate source of power, without necessarily refuting or correcting the false concept of the pagans. Job 26, verse 12. By his, God's, power, he stilled the sea. By his understanding, he shattered Rahab. Compare Isaiah chapter 51, verse 9. O arm of the Lord, awake as in days of old. Was it not you who cut Rahab in pieces, who pierced the dragon? And Job chapter 26, verse 13. By his wind the heavens were made fair, his hand pierced the fleeing serpent. Isaiah and Job tell us that God killed this mythical sea monster, but without correcting the pagan beliefs in such a monster. They used the language of their day. Bearing this technique in mind, there are many instances in the New Testament where false ideas commonly believed at the time are not corrected, but are used to demonstrate the power of God. In Matthew chapter 12, verse 27, Jesus does not tell the Pharisees that Beelzebub is a pagan false god that in reality does not even exist. In Acts chapter 16, verses 16 to 18, we find a girl supposedly in contact with a spirit called Python, King James Version, who dogged Paul for many days, doubtless interrupting his preaching. Eventually, he commanded the spirit, which in reality did not exist, to come out of her in the name of Jesus Christ. As a result, the girl's mental aberrations were cured, and the men who controlled her became very angry, realizing they had now lost their source of income. Psalm 50, verse 1. The Mighty One, God the Lord, speaks and summons the earth from the rising of the sun to its setting. The Bible often speaks of the sun rising or going down, not exactly astronomically or scientifically accurate, but the intended meaning is nevertheless quite clear. Acts chapter 5, verse 3, Peter said, Ananias, why has Satan filled your heart to lie to the Holy Spirit? Ananias is reported by Luke, the writer of the Acts, as lying to the Holy Spirit, and by his actions, assuming he could deceive God. We know God cannot be deceived by human beings, but there is no explanatory aside in the text to show this. Matthew chapter 9, verse 13. I came not to call the righteous, but sinners. Here, Jesus addresses the self-righteous Pharisees, implying they are not the people he is calling, as they are obviously righteous. Yet we know he didn't really believe they were righteous. Matthew chapter 23, verse 27. Woe to you, scribes and Pharisees, hypocrites! John chapter 8, verse 37. I know that you are the offspring of Abraham. Jesus again speaking to the critical Pharisees. Verse 13. But he did not really believe They were the offspring, spiritually, of Abraham, as defined by God. Verse 39. Jesus' attitude to the false idea of demons causing illness was to demonstrate by his many miracles of healing that it is God who is the all-powerful and only deity, so that those who were sick had nothing to fear from these erroneous beliefs. In Titus chapter 1 verse 12 and Acts chapter 17 verse 28, Paul actually quotes some Greek poets, which would have appealed to any of his listeners who might know of their writings, and thereby pay the closer attention to Paul's preaching. So in Athens the crowd listened to Paul, who revealed the truth concerning the unknown God, which had an altar dedicated to it. In him we live and move and have our being, as even some of your own poets have said, for we are indeed his offspring. Compare 1 Corinthians chapter 9, verse 20. To the Jews I became as a Jew, in order to win Jews. Here, he became as an Athenian, to win over any of the Greek crowd. Ephesians chapter 2, verses 1 and 2. You were dead in the trespasses and sins, following the prince of the power of the air, the spirit that is now at work in the sons of disobedience. A Persian priest who lived around the 6th century BC, named Zoroaster, preached that there was one principal god, and that all the other gods were malevolent spirits causing, for example, sickness and misfortune. Pythagoras and Plato later espoused such ideas. Doubtless under Persian and Greek influence, the Jews came to believe in the pagan concept of a heavenly spirit prince. Matthew chapter 12, verses 24 to 28. Paul goes on to show the Ephesians that before their conversion in Christ, it was not exterior spirit forces that caused them to sin, it was what was in their own minds and hearts. Ephesians chapter 4, verses 17 to 20. John chapter 5, verse 18. The Jews were seeking all the more to kill him because he was even calling God his own Father, making himself equal with God. Jesus did not contradict their false accusation, but showed he was God's special agent acting with God's express permission and enabled by God's power to perform miracles. Those with eyes to see would realize he never claimed to be equal to God. John chapter 14, verse 28. My Father is greater than I. 2 Peter chapter 2, verse 4. Tartarus was a name given to a mythical place elsewhere called the underworld, but Peter is in no way assenting to this false notion. He is using the language of the day to describe a state of utter destruction, much like Jesus used the term Gehenna, Mark chapter 9, verse 43. And if your hand causes you to sin, cut it off. It is better for you to enter life crippled than with two hands to go to hell, Greek Gehenna, to the unquenchable fire. Gehenna, or the Valley of Hinnom, was just outside the walls of Jerusalem where the city's refuse was kept burning. The fire utterly destroyed the refuse it received, but as daily more was added to it, the fire never was extinguished. See Study 4.9. Do demons really cause illnesses? If demons exist and can cause illnesses, how is it that modern medicines and drugs can cure or help repair the human body? Many of the conditions described in the New Testament as being caused by demons have been identified now as mental illness, tetanus infection, epilepsy, etc. A friend from Uganda told us that people used to believe malaria was caused by demons. But once they saw how drugs could control it so easily, they stopped blaming demons. Then one day, one person went down with cerebral malaria, causing serious mental illness. The people once again reverted to blaming demons for causing the condition. When a doctor arrived with anti-malarial drugs, they refused them, saying they needed drugs to fight the demons. So he went away, but returned with the same drugs, but told them they were anti-demon drugs. The patient gladly accepted the medicine and recovered. But the doctor never believed demons caused malaria. He just used their superstition and language of the day to get through to them. Just like the great physician of 2,000 years ago, the Lord Jesus.